إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله عليه وسلامه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن استنى بسنته أجمعين يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد عباد الله these past few weeks we've been speaking about the realities of the dunya and we've been speaking about it quite extensively and sometimes in the raw reality of what the dunya actually is. Now, we obviously realize that we can't escape that reality and we are all living in it. Now, every time we hear a khutbah like that about how terrible the dunya is and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates it and how much it is taking you away from the akhirah and from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we end up going out those doors and falling right back into it. So, Ya Amma Sheikh, you keep telling us that the dunya is so bad, how on earth do we get away from it? Do you mind telling us that? Luckily for us, alhamdulillah, Allah Azza wa Jal and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have given us those blueprints to be able to follow and to be able to enact in our lives, to be able to help us on our way, inshaAllah, to flipping the scales where the dunya is no longer the most important thing, rather the akhirah, Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are the most beloved things to us in our lives and these are our priorities. So what are the things that can help us to make those our priorities? The first and foremost is remembrance. Anybody that is in a state of heedlessness, right, is not going to be in a state of remembrance, obviously. And anybody who is not in a state of remembrance doesn't have whatever is supposed to be the priority on his mind. If your priority is making your business successful, every waking hour is going to be about how do you make the next transaction, how do you make the next big move, how do you sign, how do you close that next big contract that's going to make you loads of money so you're going to be able to increase the value of the business and then set it on for I don't know how many millions and then move on to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing and so on and so forth. Every waking hour is going to be like that until you get to a point where, mashallah, you're chilling and relaxing on some island somewhere. But until that point, your mind is going to be on that all the time. This is a state of dhikr. This is a state of remembrance. You are constantly remembering your monetary situation. And just like that, the state of dhikr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling you towards is that very same state. But that state of dhikr is in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not in money. The dhikr of the akhirah, the dhikr of istighfar, the dhikr of the Qur'an, the dhikr of your salah, and a state of remembrance, a state of awareness, of you being awake and not being sleeping and heedless. One of the brothers who's here today actually, he said to me once that if I can focus on my salah and my dhikr like I focus when I play FIFA, then I will realize that mashallah, I'm in a good place with regards to my ibadah. So that gives you a kind of like idea of what we're talking about when it comes to dhikr and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself is saying, إِنِّي لَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ فِي الْيَوْمِ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ سَبْعِينَ مَرَّةً, that in a day, I would seek repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and return to Him more than 70 times. And that 70 is just an arbitrary number that He gives for something that He does a lot. Almost every single minute of every single day, He is doing istighfar. This is the Prophet of Allah. This is the Nabi of Allah. This is the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Him that He has forgiven all of the things that come from Him before and after. This guy is going to heaven, and not only is he going to heaven, but he's going to be in the highest point in heaven and the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The best of creation, al itlaq. Yet he is seeking istighfar from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much in the day. Why? Why is that the case? Because he's setting an example for us. When we make istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know what that's doing? That is making us recognize our own frailties and our own faults. If we do istighfar, we are readily going to accept when we are wrong. If we don't do istighfar at all, if we recognize or we don't recognize, and somebody else recognizes for us that we've done something wrong, and they pull us up on it and say, bro, what you did there wasn't good, we are not going to readily accept that criticism, and we're not going to readily accept the fact that we are wrong. And when you don't accept the fact that you are wrong, what are you doing? You are now proud, you are now arrogant, you are now not accepting the truth. Not because it's not the truth, because it's coming from somebody else that you don't accept it from. And that's because of the pride that is built up into your heart. So inni la astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayhi fi al-yawmi 70 marra. And we know that the person who has even an atom's weight worth of pride and arrogance in his heart won't smell the fragrance of Jannah, even though it can be smelled from a distance of, not a distance in terms of space, but a distance in terms of time, 40 years. So travel 40 years and then tell me how far you get. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِ بِرَبِّكَ أَنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ. We have to recognize another state of dhikr is recognizing the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His creation. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and we will show them the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala along the horizon, yani from wherever your eye can see, you will see the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ, and even in your own selves, if you would not but look. حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ, until they realize that this is the truth. What is this? The Qur'an. Allah, His Messenger, that which His Messenger came with, until they recognize that this is the truth. And that will only be the case if they will see the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani they are in a state of dhikr, wherever they are in their lives. Another thing that will help us, aside from dhikr, is death and its remembrance. Your own impermanence, your own... you're only going to be here for a little bit of time before you go and you return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says in the Quran, and He says this a number of times in the Quran, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ, every single person shall taste death. And the reason why that's important for a believer is because we've recognized that there is life after death, meaning that this is not the end, this is not the be-all or end-all. We don't put all of our eggs in one basket and we just rely on this world, rather we recognize that there is something to come, and that is something greater. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى, it is much better with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and everlasting. Another thing that can help us is visiting those who have passed away, those who are already dead. We, alhamdulillah, are still alive and we still have the ability to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make tawbah for the mistakes that we have made in the past and return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and rectify our ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still given us that time. But for those who haven't and have passed away, they are now in their graves, we should visit them so that we can take a lesson from their situation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, كُنْتُ نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ زِيَارَةِ الْقَبُورِ, that I forbade you from visiting graves once upon a time. أَلَا فَزُورُوهَا, now though, visit them. فَإِنَّهَا تُرِقُّ الْقَلْبِ, for verily when you visit the graves of the people who have passed away, what it does is it softens your heart. وَتُدْمِعُ الْعَيْنِ, and it makes your eyes water. وَتُذَكِّرُكُمْ الْآخِرَةِ, and it reminds you of where you are going in the Akhirah. وَلَا تَقُولُ هُجْرًا, and don't say anything bad when you get there. Another thing that can help us is flipping the love of the dunya on its head and loving the akhirah instead. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He calls to in the Quran, and He mentions in the Quran in its abundance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves the akhirah. The akhirah is with Allah. Whoever wishes for the riches of the dunya, then to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs the dunya and the akhirah. And whoever wishes the akhirah, then they will get both the dunya and the akhirah. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, مَا كَانَ لِنَبِيٍّ أَن يَكُونَ لَهُ أَسْرَى حَتَّى يُثْخِنَ فِي الْأَرْضِ تُرِيدُونَ عَرَضَ الدُّنْيَا وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes for the akhirah whilst you yourselves wish for the dunya. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَا فَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. And those who wish and long for the akhirah, they love the akhirah and they want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they want to see Allah, they want to bask in the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in heaven. For these people, and they work hard for this outcome and this objective, they are in this world focusing on that and putting the time and putting the effort in order to acquire that. These people, their hard work and their efforts are going to be greatly rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A question could be asked, Ya Shaykhana, you're not helping, eh? How on earth are we supposed to be like this 24/7? How on earth are we supposed to acquire these characteristics in a world that is constantly calling us away from these characteristics? How can, in the midst of my work, my family, my friends, my hobbies, and all the other things that I have in my life, am I supposed to acquire these characteristics and implement them in my life? Ya Habibi. You're not supposed to do this all day, every day. Only that is only like specific for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he had the power to be able to do that, blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the tawfiq to, they are going to be able to do that. But it's not something that you can acquire from your own selves and your own methods. This is tawfiq from Allah. So first and foremost, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he does make you of those who are able to instill these things in their lives 24/7. But for the vast majority of us, that's not going to be the case. So what is incumbent upon us to do? What is incumbent upon us to do is to instigate and implement these things in our lives as much as we possibly can. Why is that important? Because if I implement them as much as I can, that means that the times when I do go through difficulty and hardship, when my iman is shaken, when I do doubt about my ultimate goal and where I'm going, these actions will ultimately help me to keep me steadfast and keep me on that on track towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas the merest earthquake, the merest shake, the merest difficulty that I face, all of my iman will come into question, because I base everything on the material world and everything that is around me. So when that distance, my entire all my objectives, goals and the places that I'm going to, all of those shake with it. Rather, when I have these things and I implement these things, I am stable and I am continuous, and no matter what happens to me, even if it is difficult, I have something in my repertoire, to be able to combat these things and to overcome them. So let us be those, inshallah, who implement these in our lives, inshallah wa ta'ala, to the best of our abilities and as much as possible, so that we are able to stay steadfast upon the Salat al-Mustaqim, inshallah wa ta'ala. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. عباد الله, one of the first things that I mentioned just now was that the first thing that we can do is make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq to be able to become those who are pious and righteous and following in His way. There are many deceptions in this world, and this world is in its entirety a deception. And we sometimes are deceived even by our own selves. We think that we are doing good, but ultimately there is an ulterior motive behind the good that we are doing, and then goes to haba and manthura, not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is important that we always return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and rectify our intentions and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept. And the very small actions that we do in this world with regards to our ibadah and with regards to the good that we do. So the first step that we take is to make dua to Allah. And luckily for us, on the day of Jumu'ah, there is an hour on the day of Jumu'ah in which if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asked, leave the one who is asked empty-handed. We don't know when that hour is going to be. There are many ahadith about it. Some of them mention before an hour before Asr. Some mention when the Imam is on the minbar. Some mention what between the two khutbas, and so on and so forth. There are many ahadith about it. The point is, it's just like Laylatul Qadr. We don't know when that hour is, so we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all day on a Friday. So we hope and pray that this is that hour in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our du'as, and we ask Him from the bottom of our hearts with the utmost sincerity to forgive our sins, to overlook our shortcomings, and to save us from the punishment of the hellfire. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. اللهم وفقنا لكل خير يا أكرم الأكرمين. اللهم ارزقنا الإخلاص في القول والعمل يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعلنا هداة مهتدين لا ضالين ولا مضلين. اللهم آتي نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. عباد الله رحمكم الله, إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. واذكروا الله العلي الجليل يذكركم واشكروه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم.